And let's open the scriptures to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where we will begin for this evening. And we are back in the Bible terminology. And tonight we will look at the subject matter of sanctification. And as I have studied this matter of sanctification, I was actually in several great conversations and some on the phone, some text messages back and forth about this subject matter. Does anybody need an outline or a prayer sheet before we keep going? There's a few. Your bride down here would like one. Okay, that's why he's back there. He said, I'm going to take care of her and everybody else at the same time. So if you need one, just slip your hand up. Brother Tom will get it for you. But 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to look at this matter of sanctification. And so we're just going to read the first few verses here. And really, for the sake of time, let's just read the first four verses, get into the scriptures. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I've entitled this as Sanctification Conforming to His Image. Now, I've talked with some folks that they don't believe that we do need to be sanctified after salvation, that it's all done. Now, we're going to address that this evening, but how many believe that there's things in our lives after we're saved that aren't quite right, or they're just not right, and it's not looking and acting like Christ? We all have that in our lives, don't we? And so that's where sanctification comes in. Now, if we were to look at a very basic definition, and I would say, what does sanctify mean? Well, it means to be set apart. That's a basic understanding, but that's not even a complete definition as we look at sanctify or sanctification. It is being set apart from something, but it's also being set apart to something for a purpose. And so as we look at sanctification, actually Miss Ruth Davis asked, she said, you've got a paragraph at the beginning of this and a paragraph at the end of that. Do you want both of them? I said, yes. I said, the first one is Webster's 1828. The second one is Peter's 2024. And so you can take that for what it's worth. Okay. What Webster said, if you go look up sanctification, it is the act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from sin and the world and exalted to a supreme love to God. And so understanding things in our lives that it is purified, alienated, separated from sin in the world, and exalted to a supreme love to God. There's religions around this world that they have half of that right. There'll be religions that will separate themselves from the world. They'll isolate themselves, have no influences of the world whatsoever, but they don't separate themselves to God and living in righteousness. And so sanctification, I believe, always goes hand in hand as far as purity and passion towards Christ. Now, I just want to look at a few things. One, the purpose of sanctification. The purpose of sanctification. Why do we need to be sanctified? The Bible says in what we just read, 1 Thessalonians 4, that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So why? Why do we need to be sanctified? Well, letter A is it conforms us to Christ. How many of you would say right now, spiritually, you look and act like Christ in everything? I'm looking for hands. We'll have an altar call, okay? Do you know what that means? There's still things in our lives. Now, I've been taught this all my life, that it is a process that we go through. Now, I understand if you read in the scriptures that there is a positional sanctification, which means really in God's eyes, listen, we're perfect, we're seated in heavenly places, this thing's all said and done. But practically, we're still confined by this flesh, aren't we? And so we still have to deal with this day in and day out. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29, being conformed to his image, the Bible says this, and this is what we're predestined for, by the way, the Christians, for whom he did foreknow, verse 29, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, wouldn't it be a blessing if at the moment of salvation, everything ungodly was taken out of our lives and we were perfect. And we could just live the rest of our lives in complete satisfaction of knowing we're fine. Everything's wonderful. How many know that's not true? Okay? And so it is, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Now, the purpose of sanctification is to conform us to Christ, but then letter B, it is separation from sin and fleshly desires. I'm not going to ask which ones specifically, so please don't start shouting them out tonight. But how many still have sin and fleshly desires that's in your life? How many know that those aren't pleasing to the Lord? In fact, you understand what Paul said back in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. As I was reading back over this again, he said in verse number 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Romans chapter 6, we were over there in Romans 8. But Romans chapter 6 and verse number 19, he says this. This is Paul writing. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Is Paul talking to saved or lost people in the book of Romans? Saved. As you've yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. This sanctification, the reason and the purpose that it has in our lives is to separate us from sin and fleshly desires. Letter C, the purpose is for purity in our Christian life. So the more we separate from sin and fleshly desires, the purer our spiritual lives are before the Lord. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I want you to see this as I was looking at these verses, and I love just looking at the word sanctify throughout the scriptures, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Purity in our Christian life. Do you understand that he mentioned all three things there? Do you know so many times today we emphasize sanctification as being just our actions on the outside? Well, I need to sanctify my body. He said to present blameless your spirit, soul, and body. So I put this down, not just the purpose of sanctification for purity, but you see it there, our inward preparation for outward living. Now, here's the difference, and I've explained this recently, in fact, just sitting in my office a little while ago. I said, what religion tries to do is tries to take care of the outward and say, hey, get yourself ready and cleaned up. Maybe God will love you a little bit more. You see, God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, the condition we're in, he looks at us. I know you're a sinner. You're filthy. The stink and the filth of sin is all over us. And God says, I'm going to show you how much I love you. And Christ died for us. But then, remember the definition right up there at the top of your page, the act of God's grace, that God sees us as sinners, saves us as sinners, but then says, boy, I'm going to start a work in you like you've never had before. I'm going to start something on the inside that it is eventually going to be manifesting on the outside, inward preparation for outward living. And you have 1 Peter 3:15. I'll read that to you because I loved how the verse stated it there. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with it? Sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready for outward answer and outward living. Well, I'm thankful for it. The purpose of sanctification is, yes, it can all be summarized. As I wrote down the other 3 points underneath this, I said, really, it can all be summarized. The purpose of sanctification is to get us to look like Christ. So I believe it was said, was it Michelangelo that carved that great statue of the Apostle Peter? Was it him that did that? Someone know that? Thank you. I think it was. Am I thinking of someone? Now I'm doubting myself. David, not Peter. David. Okay. Michelangelo. Someone asked him, said, how did you get that to look like David? Well, he had a picture of him, had a Polaroid. No, I'm just kidding. But he said this. He said, in my mind, he said, I had an image of what David looked like. And when I looked at the block, he said, I took away everything that didn't look like him. And I thought, you understand what Jesus is desiring to do in our lives? He knows what we're going to look like, be conformed to the image of Christ. What he's desiring to do through the process of sanctification is take away everything that doesn't look like Christ and add in everything that does look like Christ and making sure. So Roman numeral 2, not just the purpose of sanctification, and yes, that is the separation from sin and fleshly desires, the purpose of purity in our Christian life, the purpose of inward preparation for outward living, but the process of sanctification. Letter A is Christ's sacrifice. And I put this phrase here because I want us to understand this. It all starts here. It all starts with Christ's sacrifice for us. Christ's sacrifice. Now, his sacrifice, if we turn over there and look, we'll spend some time. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, and I love the wording here to be able to go to in verse number 10, says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It all begins with the sacrifice of Christ. Now, if it all begins with the sacrifice of Christ, if you have not accepted the sacrifice of Christ in your own personal life, may I say this? You're not being sanctified. I believe, according to Scripture, that sanctification, spiritual sanctification, is only for the Christian. Now, I believe outside of that, there are religions, like I said, that are trying to do their best. But it is not God that's doing that work in their lives. Now, here's what I found interesting throughout the Scriptures. Meditating on, you can go all the way back through the book of Leviticus and just start looking at the word sanctify all the way through there. What's interesting is how many times throughout the Old Testament, some of the New Testament, on how many times that the Lord said, sanctify yourselves. And we say, I can't do that. One of them, for example, is Joshua chapter number 3. I love the scripture down through there. They're getting ready to cross over the Jordan River. And Joshua says to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We see that all the way through. But then we also see throughout Scripture that sanctification is a work of the Lord. So how do we reconcile that? I said, boy, you know, there's several things throughout Scripture. There's one other big topic throughout Scripture that it says that God does this, but boy, there's a responsibility on our side to do something. And too many times we say, oh, I'm just going to leave it over here, and if it doesn't happen, then it's God's fault. So then we look at the subject matter of sanctification and say, well, it's God that does the sanctifying. So if it doesn't happen, guess what? It's God's fault, not mine. But how many times he says to sanctify ourselves? How many times he commands us to be holy? How many times he commands us to be close to the Lord? So we understand that it's Christ's sacrifice. It all begins with Christ. Positionally, we are sanctified. We are with the Lord, seated in heavenly places. He is outside of time in God's mind and his economy. This is over with. He knows who wins. He's outside of that. We're confined to time in this thing called flesh. How many ever grew up with that song, "He's Still Working on Me"? Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But hey, for me, it's been 42 years. He's still sanctifying. He's still working. Must have been a whole lot of work that needs to be done. You understand he can put all that in exact order. Sun, moon, stars. Hey, here it all is. 6 days. Done. I'm taking a break. But Peter Chamberlain, that's a lifelong process. You know what the difference is? Sun, moon, and stars, they get put in place and they just obey the command of the Lord. But what about us? We got this thing called free will. Okay, how is it that months and years ago, they could say in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, at 3:32 or whatever time it was, there's going to be a 100% full eclipse, Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, and it was months, years, decades ahead of time, here's when the next one's going to be. I've already Googled to find out when the next one's going to be. In about 10 years, full eclipse in Orlando, Florida. Who wants to go? Okay. You say, how in the world? Well, that all just happened by chance. No, God put it all in exact position, exact rotation, exact orbit, and it just obeys. And it just does what God commanded it to do. But in our lives, we're robed in flesh. Christ's sacrifice starts it all for us. So how does he sanctify us? You see it, letter B. The continual washing from the Word of God. Continual washing of the Word of God. Anybody here ever have a clogged hose or a clogged pipe? Did you know that you can put high pressure water through that, or something has to go in there? And if it's roots or something, it's got to be cut away. But then if you'll run water through there, high pressure water through there, it'll actually eliminate the clogging and the dirt and the filth, and it'll actually come out as clean as can be on the other side. Why? Because it's been cleaned out. Do you understand in our lives, most of the time what happens is we're just getting clogged up spiritually with the dirt and the filth of this world. And do you know what's going to make a difference in our lives? The continual washing of the Word of God. Now, when Jesus was praying in John chapter 17 and verse number 17, he said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." You say, "Pastor, I just, God's working on this sanctification. I just got so much sin in my life." Now, I said it a couple weeks ago. Do you understand more Bible equals more faith? Do you understand more Bible equals less filth in our lives? You say, "Well, I just can't get it out." Get in the Bible. I told someone, at least for the believer, because you're not going to keep reading these scriptures as a believer with filth in our lives and the Holy Spirit of God not speak to our hearts and lives. Not going to. I told a man one day, we were sitting in prison, and he said, "I'm just having a problem." He named a certain sin that he had there, and not much difference in what I hear coming out of our church. I said, "Difference between those in prison, those in church, is they got caught for some of the same things that people in the pews do." And he was telling me about this certain sin in his life, and he said, "I just can't seem to get victory over it." And I said, "Well, let me make mention of this." I said, "When you're getting tempted to do that sin," I said, "pull out your Bible." I said, "Start reading your Bible." And I said, "If you can still sin against God while reading your Bible and the Holy Ghost of God isn't eating your cake," I said, "something's wrong." And I said, "When we look at the scriptures, the washing of the Word of God." He even said he'd do that for the church in Ephesians chapter number 5. You remember that verse? Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 26. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it." How? "By the washing of water by the Word." Understand, the Holy Spirit of God does the sanctifying as we are in the scriptures. Continual washing from the Word, and then let her see the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, we have the continual washing, we have Christ's sacrifice, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've started to look as I look through the scriptures I've often thought of this. I wonder if more times than not, when the Holy Spirit of God is convicting us, I wonder if he isn't as much convicting us so much of sin as he is convicting us of unrighteousness and not doing righteous. Like when there's sin in our lives, he convicts us because we know better and we should have acted right. We should have lived righteously. And he's convicting us, "You didn't live righteously," right here. Because really, the Bible says that there's no temptation that's taken us, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. So he always gives the way of escape and always has that way of doing right in our lives, and we just choose not to do it. And convicts of unrighteousness, really convicts of walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. I summarized it by this, and this is Peter 2024 instead of Webster 1828. Sanctification is the process for the believer after salvation that with yielding to the Holy Spirit, we become more like Christ and live closer to him. We live more and more in the Spirit than in the flesh. That's as simple as I could come to trying to summarize the entire doctrine of sanctification in the scriptures, because God sanctifies us. And one pastor, we were having conversation back and forth, good friend of mine, And he texted me again last night just before 8 o'clock. He said, "Brother, I don't mean to keep pestering you on this, But early that morning, I got him thinking about sanctification. And so we just kept going back and forth about sanctification in a good way, not arguing, just going back and forth discussing sanctification. And he says, I go back and look and how that God commands it, but then all throughout the scriptures, he commands us to sanctify. And I said, yes. I said, I believe the practical side of that in the New Testament is God commands it, but he's not going to force anything upon us. And I said, we're actually sanctified by our continual yielding to the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. You say, Pastor, I need more sanctification. Get in the Word of God and yield to the Holy Spirit of God, and it'll be amazing what God does in our lives. Now, some people get to the point that their sanctification actually becomes their pride. It's not for that. It's not to say I'm more sanctified than Brendan is. I just lost it. Because our sanctification yields to the sin of pride. And all of a sudden we start saying, well, look what I do. I must be more sanctified. No. You just have your list you're trying to fulfill, and it's not coming from the heart that's right with God. Now, lest you say, well, and that means if my heart's right with God, I can live however I want to. No, if your heart's right with God, you're going to live however he wants you to live. That's the answer to it. And you cannot get past the fact that if our heart is right with God, it is going to make a difference on the outside. It is. Everything about us will be the more we yield to the Spirit of God. And I've come to this determination very simply in salvation, in discipleship, in sanctification. If a person's saved, they've placed their faith in what the scriptures say is needed for salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Believe, trust. We understand. We're putting our faith in what the scriptures say. Here's what I believe the rest of our life is. Whatever that book says, I'm going to put my faith in it. And I'm just going to do what the scriptures say. When it comes to, let's talk about, okay, the first step of obedience afterwards is baptism. Well, I just don't know if I want to do that. You've placed your faith in what the scriptures say about salvation. Here's what the scriptures say about the first step of obedience afterwards. So it's natural. Well, if that's what the Bible says, that's where my faith is. Well, as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, as we're trusting the scriptures, that's what the Bible says, and so Lord, do a work. We all realize none of us are perfect. That's not an excuse, that's just a true statement, okay? We all understand there's work to be done in our lives. But how many are thankful tonight that you are not where God found you to be before salvation? Isn't that a blessing? You know how you got from where you were to where you are today? Sanctification. You know how you're going to get complete to the image of Christ? Sanctification. We're just being conformed to his image. You say, well, Pastor, I just believe it's all done and it's all over with and everything. Great, you're perfect. Tell the rest of us. It's all finished. Now listen, I understand positionally. I understand that we're seated in heavenly places. In God's eyes, it's done. But down here with Peter Chamberlain, there's a lot of work to be done. And I continue to pray, God, sanctify me through thy word. Thy word is truth. If it was all completed, then why would Jesus be praying and saying, sanctify them? He knew them disciples he was dealing with. He knew the people that were coming to him. It's going to take something miraculous to be able to sanctify them, get them pure, get them holy, separate them from sin, purify them unto God, sanctified in truth.